John chapter 10. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. We're so worried about Obamacare, or Obama doesn't care, whatever you want to say. We're so worried about all these other things that are going on in this world. Let me show you a verse. The verse in here, we're going to start in verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. This is of chapter 10. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He never hid it. He always told him he was Christ. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. You're unsaved people. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you're wondering where the Christ is today, get yourself saved. I said, get yourself saved. You're in a Baptist church. Glory to God, we're better to get saved. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I have a ripping time preaching that in the jailhouse. Brother, you don't know how I live my life. Let me ask you a question. Is the King James Bible the pure word of God? You better say amen in this church. Let me ask you something. How many men can pluck you out of my hand? None! I wonder if that includes you. The Bible says that no man shall pluck you out of my hand. It's like Jesus took Mike Sells and put him right here. Jesus took Mark Thompson and put him right here. Jesus, and by the way, he didn't say, I'll put him here as long as he's good. He didn't say, I'll put him here as long as he does good works. He didn't say, I'll put him here as long as he does right. He just said, he believes in me, and he put him here. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. He put all of his fingers around Brother Mark and put him right in there. And then it says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, hold on a minute now. That gets me a little bit excited, because not only am I sitting in the hand of Jesus Christ with all of his fingers wrapped around myself, his Father's hand comes over the top, and he says, I gave them to you, but understand this, I and my Father are one. We're holding on to that soul, and no man shall ever pluck them out of that place. Christian, why don't you believe that today? If you're a saved person in here, there's nothing you can do to separate yourself from God's love. You're not holding on to him, my friend. He's the one holding on to you. I get a little tired of these people that say, we don't have eternal security. Well, then get you a new God. Because it's not hard for me to preach eternal security. I don't understand why he saved me in the first place. That's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is. It comes down to the fact that you were good enough at one time, but now you're not good enough anymore. I submit to you, you were never good enough. I submit to you as always grace. I submit to you as always mercy. I submit to you as always God's love. I submit to you that God did it all, you did nothing at all. Why in the world would it take you to do something after? It makes no sense. God puts you right here. Oh, this makes me excited. I mess up all the time. How about you? I mess up all the time. And you know it. You watch me. It doesn't take 10 minutes. Follow me 10 minutes. You'll see me mess up somewhere. And if I'd follow you 10 minutes, you'd mess up. But you're right here. You're right here. You are right here, and you can't get out. You couldn't go to hell now if you wanted to. That makes me feel real good. Well, that gives us a license to sin. No, it doesn't. It gives you freedom to serve. That's a good coupon, Brother Dave. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Why I'm so thankful that he sang that this morning. I'm thankful whenever he sings. It doesn't matter what it is. He's got a fantastic voice. I love to hear his voice. But it's amazing how God works things out. I had no idea what he was singing, but it's amazing that... And Christian, you got to stay with me here. You got to stay with me. We live in a time where it's so easy to be depressed. We live in a time when it's so easy to doubt. We live in a time where it's so easy to become burdened with what's going on in our world. Can I help you some? Jesus is coming back. He loves you every minute. The Bible says that his thoughts of you, Christian, his thoughts of you are more in number than the sand. I've never counted grains of sand. But I believe a bucket full had to be close to a million. And that's just a bucket full. Imagine all the sand in Hawaii. I imagine that a lot. I imagine the sand of Hawaii trying to get it out of my flip-flops, trying to get it out of my bathing suit. I imagine sands of Hawaii all the time. The sands of Hawaii aren't the only sands, but there's a lot of them. And every grain is a thought of you. Boy, that ought to get you just a little bit warmed up this morning. And there's going to be a day. Can you imagine seeing Jesus for the first time? Can you imagine him? And I listen. Can you imagine him saying, man, it's good to see you. Think about that. Can you imagine? The Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Could you imagine him opening up his hand and saying, man, Brother Jack, it sure is good to see you. Can you imagine? And I know you're going to be afraid for your life because he's the Almighty. He's the Holy One. He is the one that inhabiteth the north. But he's going to be like a friend. And yes, you're going to bow to him because I believe that we're all going to feel like we need to bow to him when we see him. I love these people like Jesse Duplantis. Oh, there you are, name dropping again. There, the fellas that say, well, the Lord just came up and gave me a big hug. Oh, I believe there'll be time for embracing, but it ain't going to be when you first see him, I'll tell you that. When those refiner fire eyes look at you, look through you. But all that is going to be in love and care for you. I can't wait for that day. Man, Christian, you think you've got it rough. You don't have it rough. You've got it made. Things are going to come into your life. I understand that. The rough times are going to come your way. I understand that. But in the passages that I'm about to read to you, there's a reason that things happen, and there's a path that people walk to get to this place. And I submit to you, don't even take a step down the path I'm about to describe to you. We're going to talk about two fellas today, Hophni and Phineas. And half the Sunday school teachers just said Phineas with me. Yes, those two. I've talked about them too. And if you look at 1 Samuel 4:21, let's all stand together. I'll just read one verse. Let you sit right back down. The Bible says, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. She said, the glory is departed from Israel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity. Lord, as always, my prayer, make me decrease to nothing and make you increase to everything today. I need you. Lord, I'm doing some preventative maintenance. Lord, help these people understand that they are waiting for the rapture to happen. And we are going to ride there inside of the Father's hand. I know that's figurative, but Lord, you're going to take us there. And I'm so excited about that. Lord, help us today to see the excitement of Christianity, because one day we're going to see you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not much for study in the Greek, okay? I don't know how to speak Greek. I know that the vast majority of lexicons that are out there is the Strong's Concordance and things of that nature with the Greek and the Hebrew dictionaries out there. The vast majority of them are corrupt. The vast majority of them won't tell you exactly what they are, but from time to time, I like to look and see what names mean. Okay, I think it's neat to see what names mean. Understand this. I don't need to have a Hebrew definition of a word that is in English. I can look in the English dictionary. Amen. But names are neat to me. Names are fun. The dad of these two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, was Eli. I think you know that. Eli. His name in Hebrew means lofty. Did not know that. His name means lofty. I'm glad you did, Brother Dave. You can give my points for me. His name meant lofty. Held up. Okay? That was Eli's name. I find it interesting that his boy Hophni, his name means pugilist. Now listen, that's a boxer. What kind of birth did you have to be named pugilist? This kid is born, pop comes, and I know it doesn't work that way. I've been to a birth. Well, we'll name him pugilist. That was his name. Then Phinehas' name means mouth of a serpent. Can you imagine naming your child mouth of a serpent? I've met people that could be named that afterwards. But I don't know that they could be born into that name. These two boys, at the end of the chapter, we read the verse at the end of the chapter, the son was named Ichabod because the glory had departed. How do you get? Now understand, I know that the two boys that we're about to talk about were unsaved people. The Bible says they were. They did not know the Lord. That's what the Bible says. I understand that these two were not upstanding, but understand this. Eli was. Eli was. And they were in a church that understood at the beginning, before they got put into power, of what it was to be lofty, of what it was to worship God. They understood that. What in the world took them down this path? I've had lots of preachers that have made mistakes that I know that have made mistakes of putting men on. You need to hear this now. They've made mistakes of putting men on that are serpents. Well, it's quiet now. They've made mistakes of putting deacons in that have the mouths of serpents, or they're always ready to fight. And you watch churches go down, 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 down because they don't recognize this and stop it. Or the pastor knows and doesn't stop it. In this case, Eli knew they were his boys. But there were things that they did, things that were brought before them that I would like to caution the people that are in this room today. Caution Bethel Baptist Church. I tried to help us last week. I tried to warn us to never become dead. You do understand that we serve a risen Savior. You do understand he's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. Do you see his hand of mercy? Do you hear his voice of cheer? It's amazing that just the time you need him, he's always here. See, do you believe that he lives today? Do you believe that he lives today? Because if you had a grasp of the fact that you can't be plucked out of his hand, if you had a grasp of the fact that one day you're going to see him, if you had a grasp of the fact that one day we're going to sit at a table, can you imagine the table that will be set? We just went to Carrabba's, my wife and I. Oh. I still was wiping stuff off my chin because I was just eating so fast. It's so good. Food is good. They don't even have meatloaf on the menu at Carrabba's. You know the place is anointed. I cut into that filet mignon. And we hadn't been out to dinner for a couple of months, seemed like years. And I put that first bite in my mouth and, oh, just savored it. It was so good. You ever had their bread at Carrabba's? The bread at Carrabba's, everybody? Has anybody ever been to Carrabba's? Well, if you haven't, you need to go. They have the bread with that little olive oil and spice dip. Man alive, you're half full before the food even comes. Can you imagine the supper table set before us in heaven? Could you imagine the angels? May I take your order? Can you imagine the Lord and his chef in the back preparing my filet mignon for me? You don't think I'm going to get filet, do you? No, see, there's no sin in heaven, no meatloaf. How would you like that? I would like that medium rare. Well, that's just going to give you disease, not in heaven. Medium rare with broccoli and cavatappia americana, whatever they pronounce that. We're about to pray. We have a promise. Listen to me. We have a promise as Christians of eternal life. Don't let the world take that from you. You have a promise. God has promised that there's going to be a day that he comes to get you, and he'll not forget. There's many people we've got to talk to. I'd love him to come today, but to be real honest with you, I want him to appear, but there's more people I've got to tell. And I'm so bad at it. I'm so bad. Actually, I'm very good at ignoring the call sometimes to tell people, don't ignore the call, because there's a great supper set and there's a place for them. I'm excited that I don't have to live here forever. And I love this place, but I don't have to live here forever. This is not my eternal home. This is just a stopover. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful I've got all these things that if I can hold on to those promises, these things won't happen. If you can hold on to God's promises and realize that he's got something waiting for you that's tremendous, the things that I'm about to talk about won't happen to you, because you'll be so focused on what God has for you, you won't want what the world has for you. The first thing we're going to talk about, it said in 1 Samuel 2:12 that the boys weren't saved. You can look at that later if you'd not like, but these boys were put into a position that they shouldn't have been put into. They were put in a position to serve God, yet they didn't even know God. They were put in a position to be a leader in front of the people. And it didn't take long to, number one, warp God's way. They didn't take them long to warp God's way, to do things differently than God has instructed them to be done. Now listen. If you know that God's coming and you realize that God is coming and you know that the promise that he has for you, there are certain things that are fundamentally true in our faith that if you hold on to those, you will never be led astray. If you hold on to the fact that we have the pure word of God, you won't ever worry about us not having the pure word of God. If you hold on to the fact that baptism is by immersion, you won't have to worry about the fact that baptism is not by immersion. If you hold on to the fundamental truths of the faith, you won't have to worry about God's way being warped in your heart. The question is, have you sought out what God's way is? They warped God's way. They started doing things differently than God had spelled out. Now understand, we're starting with church. We're ending with Ichabod. We're starting with an excitement about God. We're ending with the glory is departed. You can't change that. And that happens all across America. They lost the fact that God loves them somewhere along the way and figured that they're going to find a different way to have God love them. There's a better way. There's a better way that we can contribute to God's love. There's things that we can do and change that would help us along our way. There are sacraments we can do. Oh, brother, don't start talking against the Catholics. I'm not talking against the Catholics. They are people that need Christ. And if they are, and I'm just telling you what the truth is. If they are believing in their works to get them to heaven, then they are going to warp God's way. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't add anything to God's salvation. You just take it. It's a gift. But they warped God's way. They said, this is the way things have to be done. Because if you read, it filled their desire. See, when you warp God's way, it's filling your desire. That's why you need to have a desire to know that Jesus Christ is coming again. That's why you have to have a desire to know that no man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. That's why you need to have a desire to know that one day we're going to see him just as he is, not as he hangs on the walls in your home. See, we've got to understand that there are folks out there that warp God's way because they don't want to see God's way. They were unsaved people. They were unrighteous people. Phinehas and Hophni stole from God's people. They stole from them. They stole sacrifices. You're supposed to dip a flesh hook in. Whatever comes out, that's yours as the priest. Instead, they said, hey, wait a minute. I want the barbecue instead of the seethed or the boiled meat. I want the barbecue. And I would too, amen? Barbecue's good. But it's not my way. That's not what God had put down. You do what God wants you to do, even if it doesn't make you happy. Amen. Let me say that again. God has a plan for your life. You do what he wants you to do, even if right now it doesn't make you happy. Amen. Some people were happy to stay in bed this morning. That's not God's way. God's way is for us to come to church. Amen? Amen. They warped God's way. Number two, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Eli was very old. This is in Samuel 2. Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He said to them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Listen to me. They whoremongered in God's house. Listen. Now, this is going to switch gears for a little bit. I'm going to explain this to you. They warped God's way and they whoremongered in God's house. They did that what they wanted to do in God's house. Now, the things that they did were gross enough. But the simple fact that they used God's house for their own pleasure, they warped God's way. The next thing they do, they started doing their own things in God's house. I know that's a gross one. But there are people today that will do their own things in God's house. God's house is set up for a specific purpose. Did you know that? God's house is set up to be an infirmary for his Christian people. A place where you come battered, beaten down throughout the whole week to worship an almighty God that loves you. That's what it's set up for. It's not set up for a bingo hall. It'll be all right. Is everybody okay? It's not set up for a bingo hall. It's not set up for a dance studio. It's not set up to have wedding receptions in this house. It's not set up for that. This is where you come to worship God. This altar here is not somewhere where you have a square dance. This is not somewhere where you have a rock concert. This is not somewhere where you change the meaning of what this is to suit what you want. This is a place where you meet with God. This is a place where you come and you say, you know what? I'm going to bow myself before an almighty God because he's promised me that he'd meet with me. This is a house that God wants you to come and think of him, not think of how cute he was while he was singing, although he is. His eyes are dreamy. But that ought, listen to me now, you need to hear this today. He shouldn't get up there to sing so you see him. He should not get up there to sing to bring glory to him. What had happened, these boys came to the steps and said, what lady would like to be with me, bringing glory to them? I am a person that you bring glory to me. That's not why we sing. That's not why we do things here. I'm not up here for glory. I don't care about the glory. I care because God wants me to do these things, and that's what God desires out of your life. Amen. Don't change church into something that it's not. Don't change church into a social event to where you come so you can talk about sissy britches over there, whatever you talk about. Don't sit there and tell, I can't believe what she's wearing. That's changing church into something that it's not. Why was the glory departed? Because they changed God's house into something that it was not. If this church starts to become something that it's not supposed to be, you need to find yourself a new place. If church in your mind starts to become something it's not, maybe you need a change. Just a thought. They warped God's way. They whoremongered in God's house. The third thing that they did, they wrecked their walk. They wrecked their walk. And not just, and I don't have time to go to all these verses, not just their own walk, because they did this in front of all the people, and all the people knew what they were doing. By the way, if you do things that aren't right, eventually it catches up with you. I hope you understand it. If you feel like you're getting away with something now, especially teenagers, if they feel like they're getting away with something now, it will catch up. Eventually, somebody will rat you out. I was in the teen ministry for 10 years. My wife and I would just sit on Wednesdays and listen. And they would rat each other out. Oh, I saw them doing this over here. And I saw them. You think that you got a friend? You don't have a friend. They can't wait to rat you out. And eventually, it catches up with you. And it wrecks, listen to me now, it wrecks your walk. It wrecks your walk. Because if you do something that is against God, it's going to come back to you. It's not going to come back. And by the way, not only will it come back to you, people never, listen to me now, people do not let that go. It's easy to forgive somebody, but it seems like it's very, very difficult to be forgiven from people. If my wife and I would do something wrong, you'd never forgive us. And I'm not saying that we don't. Please, we do a lot of things wrong. But if we would change the meaning of this church into something it's not, if we would do things as your associate pastor and wife that we're not supposed to do, it's very difficult for people to forgive. Think about that for a minute. And it wrecks your walk. If you don't keep your eyes focused on what Jesus Christ has for you, eventually it wrecks your walk. Eventually it wrecks, things change in your life. You go down a path that you ought not go down. It goes down a path to where eventually the glory will be departed. Eventually, the Lord will cease to cohabitate with you. Now, I'm not saying that you can be plucked out of his hand. Don't misread me. But there were times in the scripture that it talks about God didn't pay much attention to the person. Even the saved people. Abraham, good example. Stayed away from him, didn't talk to him for 13 years. Now listen to me, there comes a time in your life when you've got to realize what you've got to look forward to. You've got to hold on that Jesus Christ has something better for you. Don't be caught up with what the world has, be caught up with what Jesus has. Amen. And you won't warp his way, you won't whoremonger in his house. And you certainly won't wreck your walk. Teenager after teenager after teenager, parents, you need to hear this. I've said this statement time and time again, and I think it's, personally, I think it's one of the greatest statements you can say about your children. I would rather lose them to the devil than to give them to the devil. Amen. Hey, listen, you say, well, I'm tightening the noose too tight. They're going to buck. Let them buck.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Don't take the rope off.
Amen.
You aren't going to get the horse trained unless you keep on riding. And what happens in our Christian walks, in our Christian lives, the battle becomes too difficult. Our lives become too hard. They're going to do what they want to do. Well, let them do it, but don't you dare send them on their way. Good Lord, have mercy. My mom and dad used to hand me beer going out the door because, well, I know you're going to drink it. You might as well drink it here. That's not being mom and dad. You don't need to be their buddy. You need to be their daddy. And I'm going to tell you right now, my daughter's probably going to grow up hating me. But I'm not going to give her to a devil that would love to have her life. Kids are going to do what they want to do. Hey, listen, they are going to do that, but I am not going to punch their ticket for them.
Amen.
Brother Dave, your heart is principle. You have no idea what battle your children are facing. Are you going to give them armor, or are you going to stab them in the back? Whew, that's good preaching. Because what happens in children, they're going to look back someday and they're going to blame you.
Yep.
Now, I don't let teenagers do that to me. They make their own decisions. These kids make their own. They do. Your children do what they, and they're going to make a way to do it too. You can't stop everything. But that doesn't mean you don't fight for them.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you don't lay down the laws, mom and dad. You do what you've got to do to try to protect your children. Don't let them wreck their walk. Because I've had people after people after people that never walk this way again. They wreck their walk and never come back here. See, the longer you stay away, the easier it is to stay away. The longer you stay away, the harder it is to come back. And you've got to understand, we're fighting a battle today for the lives of our young ones. And we've got to continue to fight. We've got to continue to fight. We need to keep in front of them. Here's how you win the battle. You don't win the battle by showing them it's okay to miss church. You don't win the battle by telling them it's okay to drink a beer. You don't win the battle by saying it's okay to listen to dirty rock music. It is dirty rock music. You can't get away around it. I listen to country music. Yeah, you play it backwards, you get your wife back, you get your dog back, and your truck's fixed. Good Lord have mercy. Country music make you want to shoot yourself. There's a tear in my beer because I'm crying for you, dear. Pick a better woman, dummy. Good Lord. They wrecked their walk. Number four, turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4, they weaken the warriors. Chapter 4, starting in verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. Hey, man, the glory of God has come back. Here comes the ark. Glory to God. It's time to fight again because, man, God's with us now. Why wasn't God with you when the battle started? Why wasn't God with you right in the front? Where was God before? Why would you go into battle without God? It's amazing how Christians do whatever they can do on their own before they start asking God for help. Why is God our last resort when God should be our first resort? He promised to provide our needs. He promised to take care of us. He promised to give us the things that we have to have for this present world. He promised to protect us. If those things are going to happen, then we are going to have to understand we'll rely on Him. Well, that doesn't help me much when I can't put food on my table. I understand that. I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is this. The Lord has promised He would provide your needs. Now, in America, we have a distorted view of what our needs are. But if we keep ourselves focused on what God has for us and the eternal things that are set before us, we won't walk down this path of being unsatisfied. He weakened the warriors. Let's keep reading. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp, and the Philistines were afraid. For they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore." They didn't bring God to the battle before now. Now we're afraid. Be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Because the devil's going to quit himself. The devil's going to fight against you. The devil knows what you are. He knows where your wiles are. He knows where your chinks in your armor are. And he knows that sometimes you don't bring God to the battle. Those are the battles we seem to lose, isn't it? And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they got their wages. Look at what it says. They weakened the warriors. They lost the battle. And the last one, they won their wages. At the end of this chapter, when we started out to read, she named her child, "The Glory Is Departed." A grief-stricken widow that probably realized all along the way that they weren't walking as they should walk. She may have realized that, because to me she's distraught here. She's distraught. Now listen, this was a widow that had been cheated on. The Bible says they were laying with the women. She'd been cheated on. She knew, by the way, because all the people gave this report. She realized that the glory of God that was once bestowed upon that place and upon the people had departed. Yes, the ark was gone, but why was it gone? See, why do churches become dead? Why does the glory depart from the people? Why does God seem to be in one place but really not in another? Because what happens is this. We forget what God is to us. We forget that God loves you. We forget and we wrap ourselves up in the care of this world. And when you wrap yourself up in the care of this world, it changes you. It changes you to think, well, you know what? I don't have a nice car. That person has a nice car and they're a dirty, rotten dog. I'm a Christian. Why do I not have a nice car? Don't look at the car. Look at what you got waiting for you on the streets of gold. Amen. Well, I don't get to eat steak like Brother Dave. Let me explain something to you. That's why Brother Dave ate that steak over a 30-minute period instead of over a 3-second period, because that was the first steak I had in a long time. Oh, why doesn't the Lord give me things? Hey, listen. The Lord said he would supply your needs, and this may be hard to hear. But I wonder if you need to live this way for a while. Just so you understand how great he really is. Myrtle. And did I do that? Myrtle had her car stolen. This was a long time ago. You should come to church. She got her car stolen. Well, she was pretty upset about that. And rightly so. Her transportation. Having a tough time finding a job. Pray for her. Her car gets stolen. Run down to the Yogi Bear campground, right? They go to the campground, ram her car into a tree, and leave it running. Busted it all up. Totaled. I honestly, when I talked to Myrt about this, she really didn't even seem that upset. Why would that be? Why would it be that a person could have that come into their life, yet they're not so upset? Now, I understand things coming around that just drive us nuts. I get that. But why in the world can't we hold on to that we've got a God that's greater than all the things that can come into our life? And Myrtle, I believe, saw that. Amen. Right around the corner, someone gives her a car.
Amen.
For free.
Amen.
That person needs to see me after church. Because I've been praying. No, but the Lord move the heart of that person to answer her prayer. And by the way, you might be that answered prayer for somebody, by the way. Don't ever be afraid to help somebody. Then the Lord gets out the ready whip and goes, grabs a thing of cherries, and boom, and the insurance sends her a check in the mail for a car that has already been replaced by God. Now she smiles bigger. Now you might say, well, Brother Dave, that never happens to me. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Do you ever look to see what God has? Have you ever seen in your life where God has done something for you? If you haven't, you're not looking. Because I've got news for you. There's people worse off than you that God maybe hasn't done things for lately because they're not looking for it. Diane Jones drove 4,000 miles pulling a 40-foot trailer behind a van. She's tough. With Bud and Marty in the van, too. And Bud was telling me all about driving on to Texas. It was a blast, he says. Well, then Diane comes to me, man, we weren't even out of Cincinnati when our truck broke down. Then they got a little further, and they lost a tire. You might say, well, that's a terrible trip. You know what she said to me? The Lord broke us down in a place where somebody could help us every time. to God. He broke us down, but she didn't see that. What she saw was the tow truck driver that was there ready with the jumper cables, but he didn't have any. But that was a funny laugh, wasn't it? See, what you've got to understand is this. God does things for you, and what you've got to realize is the reason that we get all out of whack with our walk is because we cease to look what God has for us, and we look to see how the world can fix it for us. The world's got nothing for you. The world's got nothing for you. The world's got nothing for you. What you've got to understand is this. God, by Him, most things consist. By Him, the vast majority of things consist. The Bible says, by Him, all things consist. And He knows that when the sparrow falls, He's got every hair on your head numbered. Some it doesn't take near as long for Him to count. Why would we look anywhere else than to a God that loves you? How do we get to Ichabod? How do we get there? I'm looking at that passage and I see you get there by taking your eyes off of God. Not seeing the goodness of God, we see the complaints of that you'd have for God. By the way, God's not a union rep. God is somebody that gives you what you need. Sometimes we need things that we don't like, but God still loves you. He still cares about you. And if you want to avoid the Phinehas and Hophni, if you want to avoid that, keep your eyes focused on who He is. Not who you think He ought to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach today. I don't take it lightly at all. I understand that my preacher is sick, Lord, and we need to pray for him. But Lord, I'm begging You today, have people keep their eyes on You. If they have their eyes on You, Lord, I believe it's much easier to walk the straight and narrow. I believe it's much easier not to get caught up with this world. It's much easier not to wreck your walk. It's much easier not to warp His way. If we'll walk looking at You and what You have for us, because You've got so much for us. Lord, it tickled my heart to hear the people give me a story of how You delivered them. How even in the midst of the turmoil that they had on the drive, You always had somewhere there to help them. How in the midst of having no vehicle, You blessed Mert with a car and money. And Lord, I understand that sometimes it doesn't work that way, but Lord, I would to God that we would see You more in the things that happen in our life. Recognize who You are more in the things that happen in our life. Because Lord, I believe that You are there in more instances than we want to give You credit for. Lord, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm somebody that I can see Your blessings every once in a while in people's lives that we miss. And Lord, I don't want to miss what You have for us. Lord, don't let the glory depart of this place. Don't let the Ichabod be written on this place. Lord, let the glory always be here, not blaming You, but accepting You for who You are. Not trying to make You something that You're not. Lord, You're almighty. You love us, and You're our Savior. Lord, help us to look to You today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with uplifted hand, I'm saved today. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Can you put them up real big and tall? Real big and tall. You may put them down. I believe every hand was raised, but I don't think I'd take a chance in a crowd of this size to not ask. Would there be one here today that doesn't know the Lord as Savior? You don't know what God can do for you because you've never met Him. You're in a place where you don't know Him, and you sure would like to know Him. Let me tell you something, lost person. God doesn't want you to die without Jesus Christ. He wants all to be saved. He's reserving a place for you if you just accept his gift. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many could say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I sure would like to know. How many can put that hand up real big and tall? That means I'm speaking to Christians today. And I would just about bet if I had you raise your hands that about every hand would go up saying, Brother Dave, I'm going through a time right now. Just about everyone. The Lord never said there wouldn't be times like this. But what he does say is he'll help you through. What he does say is he'll take you through. And it's amazing when you're going through the valleys is where you find him. Look to him today. Don't go through the valley alone. Don't go through the hard times alone. Get closer to your Savior right now. If you get closer to him now, you won't get out of his way. You won't be away from him. You'll be looking to him at all times. And you'll celebrate him when you've come through. The one great thing that I love, no matter out of all the things, is Myrtle praised the Lord for getting a new car. She praised the Lord for the Lord bringing her through. Diane praised the Lord that there was somebody there. She saw the glass half full. Let's go through life with the glass half full, although I think the Lord fills it to three-quarter, amen. Let's praise him today, even through the hard times. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for these people. I would to God we'd have an old-fashioned altar call and we'd meet you here today. And Lord, maybe apologize to you a little bit for shaking our fist at you. Lord, apologize to you a little bit for getting out of your way. Lord, help us. Help us to look to you as you being the only way that we get through these times. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mark, what page are we on? Number 44. Let's all stand as we sing. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming today. Let's take time to praise the Lord this week, amen? Let's take time to look to him and try to see what he's done for our lives.